This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and red flag warnings in effect in Southern California with wind gusts up to 70 miles per hour that could whip up wildfires. A disaster recovery center opening in L.A. County. Fire victims can apply for federal grants and housing assistance. Regional FEMA Administrator Bob Fenton.
One of the things that we've already done is had over 40,000 applications. We provided over $8 million. But there's a lot of work yet to do.
On Capitol Hill, Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth at his Senate confirmation hearing denied allegations of sexual assault and personal misconduct. Hegseth's blaming what he called a smear campaign, but also acknowledged that he's overcome character lapses.
I'm not a perfect person, but redemption is real.
Tomorrow, six more confirmation hearings are scheduled, including State Secretary nominee Marco Rubio fielding questions from senators. Israel and Hamas signaling that they are getting close to finalizing a Gaza ceasefire deal. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The first TV ads of the next election cycle are hitting airwaves today as the race for the state Supreme Court gets underway. Waukesha Circuit Court Judge Brad Schimmel, who is supported by conservatives and Republicans for the officially nonpartisan seat, is spending $1.1 million on advertising. He's facing Dane County Circuit Court Judge Suzanne Crawford, who has the support of liberals and Democrats. In 2023, more than $51 million was spent on the state Supreme Court race, a record. La Crosse's farmers market is moving this year. The new location will be in Burns Park after the Board of Public Works unanimously approved the move at yesterday's meeting. The market will move from Cameron Park to Burns Park each Friday, May through October. The decision also means that Main Street will be closed between 7th and 8th Streets from 1 until 7:30 p.m. each Friday for vendors. Market hours were set for 3:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. each Friday. The board considered traffic issues before making its decision. President Donald Trump is promising tariffs on imported products from overseas as well as from our neighbors to the north and south once he takes office. How would a tariff on imported oil from Canada affect gas prices in the Midwest? Here's Patrick DeHaan, petroleum analyst at Gas Buddy.
Definitely the Midwest and Rockies. These are the two regions of the country that have long had stable access and pipelines that flow directly down from Canada. And that's why the Great Lakes and Rockies would be much more affected by this tariff potentially than anyone else.
DeHaan says that the increased cost of oil due to the tariffs and the added cost for refining it into fuel would be passed down to consumers here in the Midwest.
Never before have we seen basically the system that has worked, right? The status quo for decades could suddenly massively change overnight if Trump implements these massive tariffs. Having a tariff on Canadian oil, which is the primary oil we refine here in the Great Lakes, that would have a catastrophic impact on the type of oil that refineries here in our region are paying. And that's why it would be passed down to us.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Packers packed their bags. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers were cleaning out their lockers after losing to the Eagles on Sunday. Green Bay lost at least four players on offense due to injury during the game, including left guard Elgton Jenkins and center Josh Myers, who suffered a fractured leg. The backups committed some costly penalties that wiped out some first downs. Right guard Sean Ryan.
Yeah, it's, seeing those fucking little yellow flags on the floor really just kind of kills your vibe, but you got to be able to just move on and flush it. And, we had a couple holdings that negated huge gains for us. And the only thing to do about that, I guess, is just be better.
Elsewhere in the NFL, the Chicago Bears are set to meet with Mike McCarthy about their head coaching position. McCarthy fired by the Cowboys after five seasons in Dallas. NBA, the Bucks are back home tonight. They host the Sacramento Kings in Milwaukee. The Badgers are at the Kohl Center against the Ohio State Buckeyes. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clear but not as cold tonight, lows near zero. For tomorrow, increasing clouds, a chance of flurries in the afternoon, highs warm all the way up to the upper 20s. Continued warming Thursday and Friday, temps well into the 30s before much colder air returns for the weekend. Currently, it's 10 above.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like.
Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina,
yes,
can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome dietitian and nutritionist Sherry Stoka, and from the band Ask Your Mother, Eric Rathsack and Adam Krauss join me in the studio. There will be rock.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for listening. You can be a part, as always, 855-752-4842. Got Jess P.S. on the board and jazzed as hell because it's Tuesday. That means it's overtime with Maggie Dawn, her fine program right here, preceding my 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network. Hey, Maggie, what's going on?
Nothing happening.
Nothing. Nope. Just another
day in paradise. News day. Yes.
God, it's cold outside, huh?
Yep, yeah, very cold.
And it's sunny.
It's sunny and cold.
Yeah, and the Packers lost. No, we're not talking sports, and we're not talking weather. We're talking the real deal. We're talking about the politics and the last two get to. I know you were talking about Pete Hegseth. We will address that later on in the show as well. But Maggie Dawn, that fine legal mind of yours, I wanted to discuss some of my findings in Jack Smith's report.
Yes.
And I actually read a little bit of it. No, I didn't print it out. I see you wasted some trees there, Maggie. But
all lawyers, we like the hard copy.
You got to have it. Well, at least you can highlight it and have it in front of you. If you lose your computer screen, then it's all over.
Curtains.
Love the reporting. Washington Post, 6 takeaways from the Jack Smith article. New York Times, 4 takeaways.
That's it, guys.
We got 10 takeaways, and a couple of them overlap. But the one that got me, Maggie Dawn, if you'll indulge me momentarily.
Certainly.
Prosecutors considered charging Trump with inciting insurrection, but didn't. A few paragraphs from the Washington Post. When the election interference indictment was first unsealed in 2023, Smith's team received criticism from some quarters, that'd be me and perhaps others, for not charging Trump with incitement to insurrection, a crime that could have prevented him from again seeking elected office had he been convicted. Now, in his report, Smith revealed that he and his team had considered pursuing such a charge and believed they had amassed some evidence to support it. They ultimately chose not to, however, deeming such prosecution too risky and believing the other charges they had lodged against Trump to be sufficient. The insurrection statute, which dates to the period before after the Civil War, had not been used to prosecute anyone in more than 100 years and was untested in modern criminal courts, the report said. Prosecutors would also have to rely on a novel interpretation of the law that matched their accusation against Trump. So, and then the Washington Post goes on to quote here, but I will go to the source document for you folks reading along at home. It's page 64 of the final report of the special counsel's investigations and prosecutions. Now, that's the actual page. It's actually the PDF. It's page 72. And here is just a little bit of it from the source. Case laws interpreting insurrection in other contexts, one court observed that an insurrection typically involves overthrowing a sitting government rather than maintaining power, which could pose another challenge to proving beyond a reasonable doubt that Trump's conduct on January 6th qualified as insurrection, given that he was sitting president at the time. And they quote lots of sources. I'm just going to scroll down to the next page where they continue the report. The office did not find any case in which a criminal defendant was charged with insurrection for acting within the government to maintain power as opposed to overthrowing it or thwarting it from the outside. Applying Section 2383 in this way would have been a first, which further weighted against charging it, given other available charges, even if it were reasonable arguments, if there were reasonable arguments that it might apply. Maggie, if I'm reading this, it seems like, yep, there seems to be evidence of insurrection. You could have charged this thing. They had other things against it. And I guess I understand weighing the evidence and trying to get the conviction. Go a little bit lower, you get more of a possibility of conviction. But the fact that it hasn't been done in over 100 years, to me, is not a reason not to charge, because that's what the guy did. I have a huge, huge problem with this, because it was insurrection and he was there. What is your legal thought on Jack Smith deciding to go after these other charges, which are perhaps
very serious
and easier to prove, I guess, than the one that hasn't been used in over 100 years?
There's an old saying, if you shoot at the king, don't miss. And in this kind of a criminal prosecution, I don't necessarily agree with it. I don't have all of the evidence that Jack Smith had. But I can tell you what my personal view is when it comes to government actor defendants, okay? Whether you're talking about people who have abused campaign finance law, either locally, state office, or nationally. When prosecutors don't charge charges against current or former public officials, especially when there is evidence that supports the charge, what they are doing is depriving the American public through the jury system of the right to hold former or current government officials to the highest standards, right? If you don't charge it, they're not being pressed in that way. The jury isn't going to see the evidence right. That may permit a jury, not every jury, to consider whether or not they did this most egregious of things, right? And when it comes to government actor, especially the high-level officials, when you don't charge those things, I think it's, I haven't seen the evidence sure. of Jack Smith. Yeah. It's really hard to speak about it. And Jack Smith is not a shrinking violet prosecutor by any stretch,
sure.
right? But as distinguishable from lay civilians, you take lay civilians and, oh, gee whiz, they'll throw every conceivable freaking charge.
Right. And try to get you to plead out.
They'll extort to plea. Yes. We call it pleading. Some people call it extortion. But when it comes to the most powerful, all of a sudden, it seems to be a different calculus. And I understand that the stakes are high. And I understand that my first statement, if you're going to shoot at the king, don't miss, seems to be contrary to. Yep, there are complicated, I think, contrarian ideas here. I think that Jack Smith's very deliberate, plotting thinking, as laid out in this report about that, shows that this wasn't a guy just throwing everything that he might think might stick on the wall at it. He looked at what he thought he could prove. And I'm gonna pivot to this other element that we see sometimes in prosecutions. If it's someone who's really powerful or really rich, all of a sudden it's like, well, I have to be sure that I can prove this totally beyond a reasonable doubt. And I'm assured of conviction when the people have means. When it's people that don't have means right. and don't have power, then it's charge them with everything under the sun and extort the plea. You want to know about why there are two systems? It's not about liberals and progressives and conservatives and MAGA. That's not the difference. The difference is, do you have a pile of money or a pile of influence or both? And if you do, all of a sudden it's going to be, well, I got to be absolutely certain I can prove every charge beyond a reasonable doubt. And if we if I can't, I'm not charging. If you're poor or you don't have power, you don't have that kind of grist for the mill, you don't have that kind of juice, then it's I'll throw every conceivable charge at you. And the reason that this tends to be the case, whether we're talking about state prosecutions or feds, unfortunately, is that that's the way the incentive structures are set up for prosecutors, right? You don't get promoted when you charge and lose.
Right.
Right.
Talks you don't about get their, their percentage of conviction.
Yeah. You don't get to be a district attorney and then run for AG and then win and then maybe run for governor or Supreme Court and win if you charge and lose. And the odds of you losing when you charge are higher when the person's got a pile of money, a pile of access, and a pile of power. But your odds of winning are way up there, or extracting that plea when the poor person doesn't have money, influence, and power. That is the two-tiered system of justice in this country, and it has nothing to do with whether or not you're a Republican and Democrat or Democrat, and that's why it should matter to every single one of us regular people.
Folks, that is Maggie Dawn. This is Overtime with Maggie Dawn. She precedes this show. Check her out 2 to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network. Love it when you spend a little time with us, Maggie. Thank you for doing so. The other thing, what concerns me about this lack of charge, again, from the report, Jack Smith, the office, did not find any case in which a criminal defendant was charged with insurrection for acting within the government to maintain power as opposed to overthrowing it or thwarting it from the outside. So this has never happened before. Yeah, no doubt. Of course it hasn't happened before. We've never had...
Because George Washington said it shouldn't be so.
It should. The first time we've not had a peaceful transfer of power. I mean, this is...
Other than that one time, way long ago. It was a little kerfuffle.
In modern times.
Yes, there
you go. Okay, fair enough. In the last 100 years, we'll go there. Because they haven't used this insurrection law in 100 years. Well, this has never happened. No one's ever done it from the inside before. Well, if you don't go after the crime from the inside, what's the next president get to do? What's he get to do this time? He wasn't prosecuted for it. Why wouldn't he do it again?
Yeah, I think the deterrent or lack thereof impact of charging decisions is a real.
Especially with a guy like Donald Trump.
Absolutely. I'm also going to make this observation about lawyers writ large. This is me sort of taking the micro question and talking about the macro, which I hope you don't mind.
Sure.
I have great respect for the vast amount of lawyers out there. But I will say this. Lawyers are not trained to be creative thinkers. Okay? Hmm. We are trained to have a zero risk tolerance. We are trained to see the world in zero sum. We are trained to see everything as, you know, again, combat. And we are trained to color in the lines, right? If there's not precedent, it's not a thing. Well, guess what? When unprecedented things happen, precedent isn't a good rubric or ruler by which to adjudge or determine what comes next.
Nothing's a precedent until it becomes a precedent.
Correct. And it is this kind of, and I don't mean this to besmirch my fellow professionals, but there is this moment where all of this stuff is happening. And if you keep, and it's Democratic politicians too, you keep thinking that we got to be in the box and we can't create new law or think about this differently or take a different tack or approach or argument, you're losing because the other side's making up the new stuff. And they're not bound by the norms and institutional principles. They make it up. You got to start coloring outside the lines, folks, from Democratic politicians to the ones that run our parties to the lawyers that represent us.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. It is Overtime with Maggie Dawn. Come back with us, 855-752-4842. Want to talk a little bit about Pete Hegseth with Maggie. Stick around.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Donald Trump's inaugural committee has received $170 million in contributions, and it's expected to reach $200 million, almost double his 2017 total. Yes, the contributions pay for inaugural balls, but inaugural funds are also a vehicle for corporate pay-to-play contributions, currying favor for federal contracts, lenient legislation, or access to the president. The Associated Press reported January 9th that the totals were far beyond President Trump's $107 million in 2017 and President Biden's $62 million in 2021. The Federal Election Commission oversees inaugural contributions, and any donation of $200 or more must be reported. But 90 days after the contribution is made and long after the spotlight is gone. There are no individual or corporate contribution limits, and only foreign nationals are barred from donating. Among the known 2024 inaugural donors, Amazon, Meta, OpenAI, Toyota, Ford, General Motors, and Boeing all made public statements when they donated $1 million each. Energy company Chevron said in a statement to Reuters, "Chevron has a long tradition of celebrating democracy by supporting the inaugural committees of both parties." Or perhaps they're sending a message to someone. We have more on the pay-to-play history of inaugurations at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This message is sponsored by WiskCaregiver.com. Now is the time to start a meaningful career as a caregiver. Make a real difference in people's lives. WiskCaregiver.com gives you two great options for free. Train for the in-demand caregiver workforce as a CDCP, Certified Direct Care Professional, or become a CNA, Certified Nurse Aide. All training is free. Plus, you can earn a $500 bonus. Learn more. Visit WiskCaregiver.com.
You're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. It's a phone line. It is a text line. Overtime with Maggie Dawn. Love it on Tuesdays with Maggie. Sticks around again. You can check out her fine show Monday through Friday, 2 to 4 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. A couple of the texters chiming in. Maggie, thank you, Maggie, for that perfect explanation of our two-tiered justice system. In that regard, let me throw this one out there. Just an example, I'll get your opinion. Enrico Tarrio, one of the Proud Boy, doing the battling on the ground. He was out, but he still got charged with seditious conspiracy and convicted. So he wasn't beating the cops. He was just part of the organization. He got convicted.
He's just the guy that's like, beat the cops now. 10-4.
Well, how is that any different than Donald Trump?
It's not.
It's not. So that two-tier justice system applies, as you said, to...
Who's Enrique Tarrio as compared to Donald Trump? A guy with less money, power, influence, and access. Keep rolling that crap downhill, and guess who's at the bottom? Right? It's like, you want to talk... Hegseth, right? The standards and the things are blah, blah, blah. Well, it's... If you want to talk about standards... You have to also talk about things like, well, when it's not perfectly objective, when subjectivity is part of it, who tends to get the short end of the stick? And it's all, whatever you're asking, it's like, who gets screwed the most? It's like the people with the least power, access, and money.
Yep.
I mean, I don't
all
care
the time,
what
every time.
Like, what? Yeah. Criminal prosecutions, yes. Promotional opportunities in the military. It's always the people that have less of all of the juice. If you are not a person who has juice and you got real ticked off and you voted for Donald Trump because he's all about the people without any juice, that's a bunch of baloney, because guess what the system still does? He isn't fixing the system. He's not draining the swamp, right? It's still
he's benefiting from
correct.
It.
Correct.
What's the old saying, Maggie? Crap rolls downhill, cash rolls up. That's kind of how it works. 855
trickle up economics, Tom.
752-4842. Andrew from Maine. Legally speaking, a question for you, Maggie. Is there anything that would have prevented Smith from going after Trump, from charging Trump with insurrection after getting a conviction on interference? So it wouldn't be double jeopardy if he came on secondarily after the fact. Or maybe he doesn't get the interference and decides to then charge him with insurrection.
statute of limitations, absent a statute of limitations, or if we get into like the concept of lesser included offenses. So if you attempted to charge something, the elements of which were also included in something that someone was acquitted for, double jeopardy does attach. It's a very good question.
So
and it's
whether
wrong-y.
Or not it's even the same statute that they're violating, it's the same act would.
So the same fundamental elements. So if a jury had concluded or the elements were clear that they had found that someone didn't do that, I'm nearly certain, this is just my lawyer brain live on radio, that you would be barred from bringing that. Certainly, we know that Donald Trump would make that argument and it would go all the way up to the Supreme Court and then they'd do whatever with it. It's why you don't see tactics like that. If you can charge it, you charge it, you do it in one prosecution. Because the idea or even the appearance of double jeopardy, of taking multiple bites at the apple, isn't good for our overall legal system.
No, regardless of whether Trump's deserving of it. No, for real. That's a thing.
It's a real thing. Yeah. Because, like, again, applied to a regular person, it's like, oh, well, I can figure out this other charge. And you just keep going and go. You talk about being persecuted by a justice system or politicized prosecution. That is a Pandora's box that no one would want to see.
Oh, Donald Trump says that all the time. 855-752-4842 doesn't mean it's real. We got a caller, Dick from Madison. Thoughts on the multiple justice systems. Dick, you're on with Overtime with Maggie Dawn. Welcome. What do you got?
Well, she already brought up the fact that your other thing you can do is just, you know, say I'm guilty and look for a lesser charge or something for poor people I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But I learned something else today in watching what I could stand of this before I got sick of it.
Yeah.
And then you guys brought up some stuff that I didn't see that enlightened me a little. I found that I didn't know Cash Cattell already was in charge of the FBI. Apparently he is because
they can put it
when they ask for they ask for stuff from the FBI, get nothing. I'm assuming he must be in charge already.
Right. Yeah, it's very strange how that, like, why the FBI didn't actually get to interview these people. It's very weird. I don't understand that. By the way, the same problem with the quality of the FBI's investigation happened during the Kavanaugh confirmation process.
Same thing.
Of course, you didn't have a Democratic president sitting in the White House. So I don't know what's going on with the FBI right now. In the case of Brett Kavanaugh, the White House controlled the scope of the FBI's investigation for confirmation Senate hearing purposes and did not provide permission to the FBI to interview the other women that came out that also alleged that Brett Kavanaugh sexually assaulted them, as well as Christine Blasey Ford. So, like, what the hell is the problem with the FBI investigation? Do you think maybe we should legislate a little bit of that? Oh, no. Don't worry, Dom. The House just passed its first bill to ban transgender student athletes. They're getting right to the nation's most important business.
Yes, very, very pressing. Overtime with Maggie Dawn, 855-752-4842. Maggie, less than 2 minutes left for our time here today. Pete Hegseth, testimony today. What was your takeaway?
Let me see. The news saying that was an anonymous smear.
Anonymous smear.
Saying something is an anonymous smear is not a denial. Okay. Pete Hegseth did not deny a whole range of conduct that is absolutely disqualifying. That if you were in the military, you may be criminally charged under the Uniform Military Code of Justice for similar actions, right? Whether you're talking about infidelity, fathering kids out of wedlock with the woman that you're having, it's an abomination. He talks about standards. One of the standards, it's not just PT standards, Pete, and passing certain aptitude tests. It's a standard of character, and you fail on all counts. You want to talk a management standard? You fail on those counts, too. So give him a $1 trillion budget and 3 million people, and let's just see how it sorts out. Pete Hegseth is going to be our next Secretary of Defense.
One of the Democratic senators said, I would vote for you for a spokesman for the department or for the...
kidding.
But not for the Pentagon, but not to lead it. That is Maggie Dawn. Thank you so much, Maggie Dawn. Check her show out for 2 to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. Folks, come back with us, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. A closed childcare center in Toma has no plans to reopen. Kids & Company was abruptly closed last week when the Toma VA Medical Center revoked its lease over compliance issues. The daycare's board chair said the closure was unexpected, but said it wasn't due to any rules violations. According to state officials, the center has had a number of reported incidents as of late, including an injury to a child caused by a staff member which was not reported right away. The center had a capacity of 40 children. Medical providers in the area say that there's been an increase in illnesses this month. Flu, norovirus, COVID-19, and RSV are among the maladies that have people seeking treatment at urgent cares and ERs in the Cooley region. Amplify Health said that the increase in cases comes at peak times for illnesses and also during a year in which not as many people got flu vaccines. Respiratory illnesses typically peak in January and February each year in Wisconsin. Health experts say if you're feeling sick, to get rest and drink plenty of fluids. The Wisconsin Basketball Coaches Association announced its 2025 Hall of Fame inductees. On the list, La Crosse Central's Todd Furgut and Viterbo's Rod Popp. Furgut is in his 21st year coaching at Central, winning a state title in 2017 among his 6 trips to state. Popp, who is currently one of Furgut's assistants, coached at Viterbo from 1986 to 1992, winning 4 conference championships in 6 seasons. The class will be inducted on September 28th in Wisconsin Dells. More information and a full list of inductees is at wisbca.org. Today's colder weather will give way to a warm-up by the end of the week when temperatures could top 40 in many places by Friday. The warm-up will be short-lived, however, as a blast of cold air settles in early next week, which could send low temperatures plummeting to the negative teens. That could bring dangerous wind chills in the negative 20 to negative 30 range, especially Sunday through Tuesday. There's also little or no snow expected for the next week or so. We'll have more details coming up in our forecast. From the Civic Media Newsroom in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Cuska for AM 1490 WLCX and LacrosseEagle.com.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The show must go on. Despite wildfires continuing to burn, production will start up again in Los Angeles. After being put on hold last week, Variety reports that shows like Jimmy Kimmel Live, NCIS Origins, and The Neighborhood will resume production. Other shows like Hacks, Suits LA, Ted, and Amazon's Fallout have not resumed production after being affected last week. Hollywood continues to rally around the victims of the LA fires. The latest organization to donate money is the Screen Actors Guild and American Federation of TV and Radio Artists. SAG-AFTRA had closed its offices due to the fires, which started January 7th. The union also postponed its in-person award nominating ceremony. SAG-AFTRA president, actress Fran Drescher, offered support to victims and those who have lost their homes and announced her union would donate $1 million to victims through the SAG-AFTRA Foundation. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clear but not as cold tonight, lows near zero. For tomorrow, increasing clouds, a chance of flurries in the afternoon, highs warm all the way up to the upper 20s. Continued warming Thursday and Friday, temps well into the 30s before much colder air returns for the weekend. Currently, it's 10 above.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate? Take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero-cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
800-693-9308. 800-693-9308. That's 800-693-9308.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Todd Allbaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as our old friend Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio, is along and helps us answer the question, what's worse, cilantro or the Kardashians? Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I want to thank Maggie Dawn for spending a little overtime with us here on the Dom Salvia Show. We do that every Tuesday. Check her show out Monday through Fridays, 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you, Maggie. Look forward to next week as well. Some of the texts out there, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It's a text line. It's a phone line. Tyler Billy chimes in. Crazy thing is that no matter who Trump nominates, they're less qualified for their positions than he is to be president. The only qualification he has to be president is that he's been president before, but he was probably the worst president ever.
Yeah.
I mean, I would agree with that, Tyler Billy, but what are we going to do? Yeah, you don't have to be anything other than, what, a certain age and a citizen to be president of the United States.
Indeed. There's not even a qualification that you can't be a felon.
No. And he is a felon.
He is indeed a felon.
Donald Trump is a felon.
Donald Trump is a convicted felon.
He is. And if he was charged under the Insurrection Act, which hasn't been done in 100 years, and Smith didn't charge him because it was done from the inside out, not the outside in. And how could we possibly? Come on, man. What makes you think that this cat's not going to do it again? He got away with it. Oh, man. We're just setting ourselves up. So, check out Jack Smith's reporting, final report. It's not too long. Mm-hmm. There are some pieces. There's lots of media reporting on it, and we're going to get to a couple of the takeaways, 855-752-4842. The six takeaways from the Washington Post. Smith believes Trump would have been convicted at trial.
Yeah, that was the headline that I got at 12:01 a.m.
You think? While we were not able to bring the cases we charged to trial, I believe the fact that our team stood up for the rule of law matters. I believe the example our team set for others to fight for justice without regard for the personal costs matters. Personal costs for real.
Yeah.
The New York Times in their four takeaways also mentions the fact that Smith said Trump would be convicted. A quote from their reporting, the through line of it all of Mr. Trump's criminal effort was deceit, knowingly false claims of election fraud. And the evidence shows that Mr. Trump used these lies as a weapon to defeat a federal government function foundational to the United States democratic process, Smith wrote. Yeah. And the MAGA's out there. I mean, here it is. Here's Jack Smith's report. And I'm not clear that there's a lot of new. Mm-hmm.
There's not a whole lot of new information. It's just more of a different synthesis of it all.
And a little bit of the background of the efforts that his team went through. As mentioned, prosecutors considered charging Trump with inciting insurrection, but didn't. The office could not find any case in which a criminal defendant was charged with insurrection for acting within the government to maintain power as opposed to overthrowing it or thwarting it from the outside. Yeah, well, no doubt. We've never had this before in our country. So, you know, extraordinary times mean extraordinary measures. Mm-hmm. Come on, man. But I digress. Smith blames Trump for the deadly January 6th riot. Yeah, we know that as well. Mm-hmm. Other co-conspirators could have faced charges. Think Rudy Giuliani, Sidney Powell, John Eastman. Not clear how that's going to pan out going forward. Even, again, this is federal. So if Trump, you know, follows through on his pardon
spree,
you know, it wouldn't matter anyway, at least on the federal level. Now, presidential pardons do not impact state prosecutions. So maybe we can hang our hat on that. Finally, another one from Jack Smith, the takeaway from the Washington Post. Trump's claim of political bias deemed laughable. Well, he's going to say it no matter what. And Garland rushed to get the report out before he leaves office. Yeah, well, just in time. Come on. Talk about cutting it close.
Seriously.
And similar reporting from the New York Times. Trump, here's what the Times says.
Mm-hmm.
Trump was a challenging target to investigate.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for writing that down, Jack. I mean, are you trying to put Phil in here? I mean, come on, man. You don't get paid by the word. You can just put, yeah, no doubt. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, Trump making extra judicial comments, sometimes of a threatening nature about the case.
You mean the outright threats?
Threats, lies. Smith went on to defend his team, as well he should. So I guess that's kind of the gist, and I don't hear the Megas calling in, so I guess they're it's just all fake.
I guess they're all just processing. Breathing it deeply. Yeah, they really, they're so invested in the rule of law.
The rule of law. I brought up this Substack the other day. I want to get to it briefly here while we have a couple of minutes. Contrarian.substack.com. Now, this one by Norman Eisen. So these, and this is also the organization that Jennifer Rubin, the formerly claimed conservative at the Washington Post, has left to join. He writes a little bit here, and folks, check this out. This is now going to be on one of my go-tos for research for the show, because you got to have it. Just a few paragraphs from Norm Eisen here. Donald Trump, if Donald Trump, the defendant here, the Supreme Court was the aider and abettor. Let's not, you know, none of these things happen in a vacuum. Right. There's a lot of things that went down to get us to this point. That terrible immunity decision, utterly unfounded in American law, and the unconscionable half year plus of U.S. foot dragging that Supreme Court engaged in prevented a trial. Yeah, it's almost like it worked. The trial was, after all, set for March 4th of 24. And if the Supreme Court had not gone completely off the rails, that case could have proceeded. Indeed, if the court had simply moved with the same dispatch as other comparable historical cases when presented with questions in December of 23, we likely still might have had the trial, immunity doctrine and all. The trial could have taken place within its parameters. It's important to bear the Supreme Court's culpability in mind as we prepare to defend our democracy here at The Contrarian. Again, check them out, contrarian.substack.com, and elsewhere in the days and years ahead. Will they be the court that, by a narrow 5-4 majority, refused to stop the New York criminal sentencing of Donald Trump just last week? Or will they be the court that produced the reprehensible immunity decision? We must not only hope for the former, we must work, litigate, and strive with every ounce of our being for it, for the functioning of our democracy across the board. We actually know what we have to do. The precedents are there. Yes, the challenges are daunting, but America has faced daunting challenges before. Other nations have done the same, and in places like Poland, they have taken on autocratic regimes and ousted them. America's venerable democracy has deep strengths as well as the weaknesses currently on display. Deepest of them all is the strong pro-democracy commitment of many of the American people and the institutions that they have built. Even if both are a bit numb and stunned at the moment, it's time to wake up, and the Smith Report is a loud alarm to help us do that.
Oof.
Oof. Well, at least some of us. Norman Eisen writing over that, The Contrarian. We talk about media here quite a bit.
Imagine that.
We're in the media business. The Daily Beast reporting, as I mentioned, that Jennifer Rubin, formerly of the Washington Post, has gone over to this Substack, joining Norman Eisen at The Contrarian. There is a quote. I want to see if I can track it down here from The Daily Beast. Bear with me here.
Well, this is, I mean, it wasn't as if she left the Washington Post and didn't make her reasons known.
Yeah, and here's a statement that Rubin provided to the Daily Beast. We've watched as corporate and billionaire owners of media outlets abuse their audience's loyalty and undercut journalism's vital role in a free democracy. Instead of safeguarding democratic values, they have enabled the gravest threats to democracy, Donald Trump and his allies, at the very time when a robust and independent press is most essential. We need an alternative, truly independent outlet that is unafraid of the administration and unwilling to equivocate or bend the knee. I think she's talking about the Dom Salvi show. But no, she's
No,
she's talking about The Contrarian. But I concur, Jennifer Rubin. It's really tough. You know, I kind of get my habits of my news consumption.
Right.
And Washington Post is like the first. I hit a couple of the locals. You know, I get like the Journal Sentinel, Cap Times, Madison.com. I go to, Urban Milwaukee. There's the Wisconsin Examiner, Wisconsin Watch. There's so many places out there. But on the national level, the Washington Post was one of my go-tos. And,
absolutely.
And Ruben, given her background, and I haven't always been a bleeding heart liberal. I'm a little bit of a contrarian myself, I've been
just
told.
Just a little bit.
You tell me, my answer is no. No. So I can appreciate her evolution. It's similar to some regards, at least in my perception, as mine, man. You know, first of all, the more I learn, the more I know I don't know.
Mm-hmm. That's a great mindset to have in general, I say.
The more you know nothing. I think it's from that song from 3 Days Grace that we started this segment with. It's a good song.
It's a good song.
So to see the evolution of folks like Jennifer Rubin. And I think, you know, there's a lot of folks out there that had, you know, conservative leanings. And that's fine, man. People have what they have. But when they, you know, call out people like Donald Trump, all of a sudden they're the rhinos or they're infected with the woke mindset, whatever these Republicans think, because they're being criticized for their actions and for their philosophy and the way they comport themselves. We talk about raising the standards, and we'll get into the Pete Hegseth.
Oh, we will.
We'll get into raising the standards. Well, are we raising the standards? Are we literally raising the standards? I mean, it's one thing to talk about it, but that doesn't cut it. It's the actions that matter. You know, what are the quantifiable actions that folks are going through to raise the standard? You know, Donald Trump isn't raising the standard. Pete Hegseth is not raising the standard. I'm sorry. It's just not. Compared to what? Look at the standard of, and you can say what you want about the Pentagon, but look at the standard of the folks that have been there before. Does Pete stand up to that? I mean, the guy's never managed an organization with more than 100 people in it.
Mm-hmm.
And the budget that he had, apparently they had some problems.
Significant problems.
Meals and entertainment, I'm telling you, man. It can be tough. It can be tough. So when some of those conservatives, look like the Bulwark folks, you know, some of these the never Trumpsters,
Lincoln Project.
Right. These guys, and some of those guys come around on civic media as well. You know, we may not agree on different tax rates and whatnot. You know what I'm saying? But those are the nice things to be able to discuss and argue about. One thing we do agree on is, you know, we should live in a vibrant democracy, that we should have absolutely the freedom of the press and the freedom of speech, those kinds of things. And that is under threat from people like Donald Trump and this administration. So I'm down. The contrarian, check them out. Jennifer Rubin, Norman Eisen. There's going to be other media outlets like that. I still go to the Post. It's still a habit. There's still other reporters there that
I've started phasing out.
I've been phasing a little bit out.
If you've been noticing, but when I send you articles now, more often than not, they're from New York Times. They're from local reporting. I haven't been going to the Washington Post as much.
Not owned by anybody. That is the tagline for the contrarian. Again, you can find that on Substack. Not owned by anybody. Again,
and I'll link in that article so people can go right to
that
it.
That could go to me, too. I'm not owned by anybody. what I say yesterday, you know, stop cashing the checks.
Stop cashing checks.
Yeah, you want to change how business is done in this world, how politics is done. Business is business. Politics is politics. Of course, those things do kind of combine once in a while. But people get under. They get the access. It's our own in many respects. Because again, our politics are certainly a reflection of us: the good, the bad, and the ugly. And it's tough. If you know, if all of a sudden you get some dark money group from Trump's side cutting you checks to do X, Y, or Z, man, who's going to not want to cash that money? Everybody needs money. That's why they call it money. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salve Show. Going to come back with some of your calls, 855-752-4842. And we have some highlights, lowlights, however you want to call it, of the Pete Hegseth Senate interview. Testimony. That was something to see, certainly, and we'll play some of that sound. So, folks, stick around listening to the Dom Salvia Show. Coming back with your calls, 855-75-CIVIC.
Eagle 1490 AM. If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
IZERVAY is proven to slow GA progression.
IZERVAY. Going slower.
IZERVAY or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about IZERVAY today.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
Visit IZERVAY.com. That's IZERVAY.com.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I drew my brother's name one year, and we went to the mall, and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him that I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
And welcome back to the Don Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It's a phone line. It's a text line. Callers, take priority. Texts, we'll get to you shortly. Mark from the SAC, you are up. Happy days, man. Welcome. What do you got?
Yeah, happy days. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to read the report to see how it coincides with what I've been kind of saying all along. I've been given rough outlines of, you know, the whole denying the election and denying the election before the election even happened, and then using that to fire people up, and then the whole Wisconsin sweep thing, which was part and parcel of the insurrection itself,
yes,
hoping to delay things and overturn things, and it just went on from there, and that it should have been charged, and unfortunately it wasn't, and I can kind of understand some of the reasoning, but with the guys that Trump is going to be put in, like Pete Hegseth, the guy not answering the questions, a more unctuous
I hear that, man, self-censorship. Thank you.
Yeah, yes, well done, Mark. Well done.
Son of uncertain parentage, let's put it that way, is what they used to say. And no insult to his mother, because his mother probably is a decent person, but he's a very certainly an indecent man. confirmed adulterer. Yet if he would have been in the military, he would have been, you know, drummed out of it, because I've heard of people in the military, you know, getting drummed out because of adultery. I mean, that it is just, if you can't keep fidelity to it, to a spouse or to a partner, how the heck are we expect him to keep fidelity to it?
Well, of course we don't, Mark, and thank you for the call. Specifically, what is Trump putting him in there for? For loyalty, baby. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into some of the questions these senators had for Hegseth. Specifically regarding the oath to protect the Constitution. Is that kind of like a similar oath that you take on your marriage vows? There's some gold in there, Jerry. I can't stick around for the next hour. It's gonna be good. All right, some of the texters. John on YouTube. The system we're supposed to respect and say that Republicans should be respecting is what allowed Trump to do what he did. I don't think we have a leg to stand on with this argument. Yeah, John. Sometimes things suck. The system. What's the old saying? Democracy is the worst form of government, except for all the other forms of government. Mm-hmm. Certainly not perfect, as Maggie so eloquently articulated in the first couple of segments. The two-tiered, and it's not two-tiered, you know, based on politics. Mm-hmm. It's based on money and power. So if you're a rich Democrat or a rich Republican or a rich non-voter or whatever you are, you know what? You can bend the system to your will with greater ease. It's more malleable than if you're some poor, busted person who happened to get caught with a joint in your pocket and you got no money. I mean, they're going to come down on you like a ton of bricks, at least in the state of Wisconsin. They will. Not in our surrounding states, but I digress.
Not in any state surrounding us.
I think ultimately, though, to your point, John, it is... I see it less of an indictment on our system per se, because there's people in the system. The system itself doesn't work on its own. I would refer to Cy Vance, the original NYSD guy. Alvin Bragg took over after Cy Vance. Cy Vance didn't charge. He could have charged. Mm-hmm. Alvin Bragg took a while to finally charge. That could have happened. Now, once he got into the system, you know, timing became everything. Again, look at some of the folks, U.S. Supreme Court. Terrible decisions on this immunity thing. Now, is that an indictment on everything that the Supreme Court does or our system of judgment of justice in this country? You can make the argument, but there are very specific people on that court that voted that way.
Yeah.
You see, you look at now again, setting aside politics here, Merrick Garland, you know, he's the Biden guy.
Sat on his hands
for way too long.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, he's a former president. Harump, harump, harump. Oh, come, are you kidding me?
Yeah, unprecedented events call for unprecedented actions.
And quick action. I mean, we saw the fact that those folks went and ransacked that Capitol and all just went home.
Yep.
I mean, where was the cavalry? How was that whole town not surrounded by National Guard tanks? You know what I'm saying? Are you kidding me? I mean, when they had the Detroit riots in the 60s, man, the Ambassador Bridge had tanks on the bridge. It had nothing to do with the peaceful transfer of power.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so black people are getting out of hand. But the white people are getting out of hand at Donald Trump's come join us, we'll be wild. No, they go in, they beat the hell out of the cops. For 140 cops got injured, according to the reporting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some died. Certainly some of the protesters died. They just went home. Go home. We love you. What a beautiful, wonderful day. Are
day
you kidding?
Of love.
Day of love. How was that whole town not surrounded with paddy wagons to ship every single one of those folks in there and get them processed? I mean, that is in and of itself is a disgrace. And now, of course, the next day they put all the fencing up and now they've got the fencing up now and all. Now they're all on top of it. Well, where were they then? So there's lots of questions that perhaps we will not find the answers to. But as an indictment of our system, certainly, perhaps. An indictment of those that are in the system that made those decisions, Democrats and Republicans? Oh, yeah. Definitely on some of those folks. Come back with us. This is the Dom Salvia Show. Pete Hegseth, Trump's guy to run the Pentagon. You know, formerly of Fox News. With the Christian tattoos, he's really down for the Crusades, I guess.
Yeah.
And kill all Muslims, something along those. Oh, I mean, that was just, come on. Anonymous smears. I'm going to get a t-shirt. Anonymous smears. Come back with us. No anonymous smears here. 855-752-4842.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday morning, life after an election loss. The last thing some candidates should do is walk away. There are lots of opportunities to serve your community.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. At a fiery Senate confirmation hearing, Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth pushing back on allegations of sexual misconduct and comments about women serving in the military.
Hegseth facing a grilling at times, particularly from those female Democrat senators on the panel, about his past comments about women in combat roles. New Hampshire Senator Jean Shaheen.
What do you have to say to the almost 400,000 women who are serving today about your position on whether they should be capable to rise through the highest ranks of our military?
Hegseth saying he supports women in combat roles and that it was an issue of standards.
ABC's Olivia Rubin. In Southern California, dangerous offshore winds have returned, raising the wildfire threat. At least 35 people in Los Angeles County are listed as missing after last week's wildfires. And Israel and Hamas say they're nearing a deal to end the war in Gaza and to release the hostages. This is ABC News.